Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony. So let's go ahead and get started. So today what I'm going to be talking about is just how God got me here, how God got me into this position to be a next gen pastor. And my whole life, you know, my parents, amazing, they always took me to church. They always took me to our Wednesday night children's outreaches, youth groups, and my mom and dad, they volunteered. I mean, they volunteer here when they come and visit. They just love to help out. They love to be a part. My mom does projections. My dad kills it on the bass. And they just, they love being involved. They love being a part. And because of that, I would always just be around church, and I'd be around church life. And I would always, have a lot of friends. I went to camps. And the first camp I went to when I was 8 years old, it was over at Camp Hickory, the same camp that we take our kids to. And when I was 8 years old is when I first accepted God as my Lord and Savior. And at that same time is also when I received the gift of tongues, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I wasn't quite sure how to start, and I wasn't quite sure what to do, but I just remember, when I was little, my mom would take me to school every day, and she would pray every morning on our way to work and on our way there. And she would pray over our family, over the day, over everything that's going on, and she would always end with praying in tongues. And so I didn't quite know how to start praying in tongues, so I just copied what I heard my mom say. And sure enough, it went from there to just something that I've never heard before, and I had my own spiritual language at that point. And I was so, excited, and I was on fire for God. And then from 8 years old to probably 17 years old, my parents were very involved, so I was very much at the church, and it went from being super inspired and loving, just loving where I'm at, I went to kind of going through the motions, right? Going to church on Sunday, go to the Covenant Keepers, which was our children's outreach on Wednesday, going to youth group on Wednesdays instead of that children's outreach group, and I always, I had fun. I had a lot of great friends, but I can't really remember just actually going deeper. I thought accepting Christ and then having that spiritual language, that was enough for me at that point. And I never really dove deeper than that. I said, that's good enough for me. And that was my own personal relationship. But because I was still consistent, because I still showed up on Wednesdays and Sundays, I was still very much a part of the church. I helped out with the sound tech. I volunteered at any event that we had. I had tons of friends that we would hang out with. I hung out at youth group afterwards. And on paper, I looked like the bee's knees, right? I was very much involved. I was very much, a part of what's going on. But when it came to my own relationship with God, when it came to my own relationship with Jesus, it was just blank. I like to worship, I like to sing, I like to be a part, but I never really got myself deep. And I never really got myself to where I was actually serious about my relationship. Going to church was great, going to church was fun, getting in trouble wasn't, sorry mom, but it was still a really great experience. But I even remember, I had a conversation with my dad, I can't remember how old I was, it was probably around middle school. He took me, it was a Saturday or something like that, I don't know, but he just asked if I wanted to go to the bank with him, or I asked him if I could go with him to go to the bank. And it was right after we went to the bank, and we were just talking about my relationship with God. And I remember saying, my relationship with God is good, we talk, but he hasn't really called me to do anything, he hasn't really told me anything, we're good, we're fine, we're good where we're at. And I just really Like, and that's where I was at. Like, I just said everything was good. Everything was fine. And I never really dove deep into, like, what does God actually want me to do? Yes, I was very involved in the church. I did everything that I thought was right, but going deep, because I was afraid. Part of why is because I was afraid was because also when I was 8 years old and I spoke in tongues, I heard a voice. And that voice told me inside my heart that I was going to be a pastor. But at that moment, I was like, oh, I'm just being dramatic. Oh, I'm just, you know, I'm getting too much into the moment. Oh, I don't know. That doesn't seem like me. That doesn't seem right. And so because I denied that voice, because I denied what I was hearing, I just ignored it for the rest, for that portion of my of years. I still loved God. I still was very much a part of the church. I still wanted to be involved. But when it came to my own relationship, it stopped right there. The growth stopped because I was afraid to go deeper. The growth stopped because I was afraid of what it would look like. And it felt good, but I never, I don't know how else to say it. Like, it felt really good, but it was good just on Sunday. It was good just on Wednesday. But the second I went to work, the second I went, or work, school, I mean, it's work for kids, let's be real. But when I went to school, when I went into my, like, normal life, when I went to my life outside of church, I just, like, it was an afterthought. And, yeah, I based some of my decisions around, like, the teachings that I heard, and I made sure I tried to make good decisions for a while. But because I never went deep, because I left my relationship with God at church, and because I never listened to that voice and never, like, actually went deep, my impression and what others people thought about me really mattered more than what God did. And because of that, I was more concerned about the fear of failure, failing people around me. I didn't want to miss out on what was going on with my friends. I didn't want to disappoint anyone. And so I became more of a people pleaser rather than actually serving God. And by doing that, I would do things that were great for the church. And then on the other hand, I would have friends that would like to go to parties or would like to drink and things like that. And I'll be frankly honest with you, like, I went and I hung out with those people. And I was living, like, double lives at that point. I would be really great and a good person at church, but then when I went home, it was a totally, or when I went to my friends, it was a totally different person. And there was this constant struggle inside of me. And when I had that struggle, when life started to get hard, it was a choice between, do I go to church and feel really embarrassed, or do I just stay home? And I'll be honest, like, I'm a pretty stubborn person, so I just kind of fought through the pain and just said, I'm just going to go to church just because I want to please my parents. I want to make sure that I don't disappoint them. And so I would go to youth group. I would go, but I would just feel horrible because I knew what I was doing was wrong. I'd be so stressed, like, what if my pastor knows? What if my parents know? What if, you know, my friends say something that they shouldn't? What if, you know, and I had this constant anxiety, and I'd be so anxious that the only thing, again, because my relationship with God wasn't that deep, I would go to back to those parties and go to those situations because I needed to relieve my stress. I needed something to get away. And then when I was 17 years old, I didn't party for very long, like maybe for like about a year, but I was just over it. Like, I just knew, like, this constant cycle needs to stop. And so in that summer, I went to a summer camp. And same one, Camp Hickory, you know, great place. I love that place. I'm going to go to that place until I die, I swear. But there, the speaker just really, like, hit me hard. Like, it was one of those messages where I felt like it was directed rightly towards me. And he had a portion of the service where we had to write down things that we were going to give up, things that we were going to not do anymore. We were going to, and in my mind, I was going to rededicate my life to Christ. And so I didn't just put, like, the things that I knew were bad. I even put, like, friends' names down. I need to give up these relationships. I need to give up these scenarios. And at that point, I rededicated my life to Christ. And I said, you know what, I'm done. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. I need something else. And then again, right, when I rededicated myself, there was that same voice. And I was like, God, this again? Like, what? Like, why do I feel like this? Why do I hear this voice? I'm just being so dramatic. Like, I just feel like it was me that was telling myself this. And I was still doubting God's voice, but something just told me, like, there was just a confidence in me that said, you know what, like let's try this voice out. Like, what if I do say I'm going to be a pastor? What if I do go deeper into my relationship with God? What if I do dive deeper in what God has for me? And the feeling of that was very weird. I was scared. I was almost like, and let's be real, like, I was almost kind of like embarrassed because, like, to say, like, I'm going to be a pastor to, like, my friends and things like that, like, I wasn't sure what the reaction was. So I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, what should I say? Like, am I going to be losing my friends? And I was still very much like in the in-between. But I just went with it. I just rolled with it. I just said, you know what? I just have to rip the Band-Aid, and I'm just going to tell people. And even though I was uncertain what the responses were, even though I was unsure what people were going to, how they were going to react, I still remained faithful to this voice that I heard. And I still told people, I'm going to be a pastor. And when I first said it, it was almost like I didn't believe it when I said it. Because I knew my past. I knew the stuff that I was doing. Like, I knew what was going on in my life. And then to say, yeah, I'm gonna do a 180 and just be a pastor. Like, I could already imagine what my high school friends were going to say. I can already imagine what my teachers were going to say. Because I wasn't the best student in high school. I was the class clown. So to have the class clown to be a pastor, like, no way. And so, like, in my head, I was just psyching myself out. Exactly. Thank you. That year, that same year, to add to all the stress, so I have white hair. I'm going to address the elephant in the room. I have white hair. I didn't grow up with white hair. My mom made a scrapbook for me, and you can see, as a child, and even as a preteen, as a middle schooler, I didn't have white hair. It was the same year that I rededicated my life to the Lord, and it was so weird because it happened within a week, and a school week on top of that. So I go to school one day, no white hair. I go to school the next day, a little bit of white hair. People are looking at you. Teachers are looking at you. Gets a little bit bigger. Teachers pull you off the side. Are you okay? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm freaking out. Like, my stress was, like, beyond. Like, my parents are freaking out. We don't know what's going on. Am I dying? I don't know. But we were freaking out. And so within a week, it happened. But it stopped. It just randomly stopped after that portion. And we went to the doctors, and they had, like, three different what do you want to call it, like, diagnostics or theories or whatever. First two didn't work. Third one, they're like, okay, this is probably what it is. It's called vitiligo. It's where your white blood cells think that your skin pigmentation is a virus and it kills those areas. But usually when it happens is it spreads, like it doesn't stop. And so for it to not only stop at certain points, but then when you find it early on, you have a very high percentage chance of getting it treated and for it to go away. And so not only did it stop at random points, but it also, when we did the treatment, it's only supposed to be about 2 to 3 months, if I remember correctly. And I had to look at my mom because she's the one that organized it. I was just a dumb high school student that was just following along. But anyway, 2 to 3 months should have been done. We took the whole senior year and no progress. The whole senior year and nothing happened. We tried even putting, like, mascara, like, on my eyelashes or dyeing my eyelashes. And I remember falling asleep on the chair, and they put so much dye on my eyelashes, and it kept falling off that it went through the sponge, and it went into my eye, and I gave up. I said, you know what? It's fine. We're done. And I just had white hair. Like, I just had to accept that at that point. I had white hair. Don't know why. Don't know why it stopped, but it's there. And so I graduate high school, and I start my first internship in Madison, Wisconsin, my first step to being a pastor. And I'm super nervous because, again, I'm not sure what I'm doing. I'm just following a voice that I heard like a year or two ago, and I'm just hoping for the best. I don't know what my next step is. I don't know what I'm doing after that. I'm just doing what I need to do. And so we had a conference at the church, well, at the city, and we were a mobile church, so we had to have a place to, like, reserve. So I was doing the kids' church portion, funny enough. I was doing the kids' church portion, and I was getting stuff ready. And this guy comes up to me, and I'm getting stuff ready. I'm, again, first-year intern. I'm just trying to do my best. The guy just comes up to me and says, I have a word for you, and then leaves. That's it. So in my mind, I'm thinking, what did I do? What did I do? Like, did I do something wrong? Did I forget something? I'm in trouble. So that whole conference, I avoided the snot out of that guy. Like, I tried every little, like, if he was in a room talking to someone, I just, like, left. Like, I couldn't. I was so scared of him. And he was really good friends with my intern directors, and so he was always around them. So every time he's talking to them, I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's talking to them about me. I messed up. I'm going to fail. I'm just going to leave. Like, I'm done. Like, sorry, I failed. I tried. But no, what ended up happening was we ended the conference, and I'm packing stuff up, and it's the last day, and I'm not seeing him anywhere. So I'm thinking, I got out of this. Whatever I got in trouble for, it didn't happen. And so I'm feeling good. I'm grabbing stuff. I'm putting it in my car, and some of the stuff belonged to the head pastor. So I went over to their house and went to go drop it off, and I have all my other interns with me, five other people. And we're just talking. We're trying to get, like, dinner plans. We're trying to figure out what to do for the rest of the day. And we go into the living room, and there he is in the living room, like, just in the middle of the room. And I'm just like, this is it. Like, I just have to go pack my stuff. Like, I failed. And he said, everyone except AJ leave. Yeah. Yeah, feels great. I've been down that road before in high school. I know where this is going. So then my intern directors come into the room, and it's those two and him. And he sat me down, and what he said is, I have a word from God for you. And what he began to talk about was my birth mother and the stuff that she went through when she was pregnant with me. She was very young, and she was very scared, and there was a lot of challenges that she had. And he went into extreme detail and even stuff that I wasn't quite sure about. And one of the things that he was saying was when they were doing a procedure on her, they had to do a C-section on her stomach, but they had to do a cross C-section because that was so big. And then he talked about how they had to do a procedure on my throat, which I already knew. Like I had some stuff left in my throat that they had to scoop out and they had to get out, but they had to put me into like surgery right away to get that done. And I don't know like how in the world he knew this. You know, this guy, he was a speaker at camp the same year I rededicated my life to the Lord. Like, I saw him once in my life before, never said a word to him. I was just a camper to him. And then he's at the same conference that I am at, comes up to me, says he has a word for me, and then tells me all of this. This guy's from Los Angeles, California. I've never said a word to this guy before in my life, but yet he knows all of this about me. And he said, before he came to this conference, he had a dream of all of this. And he said that he wasn't sure why. He didn't know why God gave him this dream, but he knew it was from God. And he was praying about it. And he's like, God, like, why? Why is this happening? And then when he saw me at the conference, it all came together. When he had that dream and he saw my mom, when he saw that baby, he said the entire time during that time, God's hand was on that baby's head. And when you accepted your life, or when you rededicated your life to be to him, and you accepted your call to be a pastor, he decided to permanently mark his hand on your head. To let you know he was with you then. He's with you now. He'll be with you in your ministry in the future. And he went ahead and just embraced me, because just like now, I was bawling. Never really cried until then, and now I'm a big crybaby. Whatever. Thanks, God. But when he shared that story, and like even as I'm sharing it now, like there is just such a calmness. When I grew up, I loved
I always felt out of place.
I always felt like I was in someone else's family almost.
And then when I had that, and when I heard that testimony, it made me feel like that's exactly where I needed to be. Put me in the place that I knew I belonged. Put me in a position that made me realize that this negative feeling I had about myself and these abandonment issues I had with my mom, and I never knew my birth dad, made all of that taken away and say, you belong. And he began to say, there's a verse for you. I love the entire chapter, but specifically in the book of Isaiah 49:16, it says, so I have engraved in the palms of my hand, for I have engraved you on the palm of my hand, and your walls will forever be before me. Meaning that if you are obedient to what I ask you, if you dive deep into what I have, let down your walls. Because I've had them up, and I played it really good. I knew how to play the church life. I knew how to worship. I knew how to say the right things. I knew how to be a part. I did that for so many years. And then when my feet were held to the fire, when real decisions in my life really needed to be made, I was so stressed because I didn't have that foundation. I never went deep enough to actually say, God, what do you want me to do? My foundation was in the pleasing everyone else. And so ever since then, ever since when I said, God, I'm going to be a pastor, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to get there. I didn't know what my next step was. And people always ask me, like, so once you graduate this internship program, what are you going to do? I don't know yet. And then another residency came along. Great residency at my home church. And they took me in for 2 years and really taught me. And they were like, what are you going to do after that? I don't know yet. God hasn't told me. And because of that, just because of that obedience, then met Pastor Cynthia and let me come and pastor here. And I love your kids. The impact that, not that I made on your kids, but the impact your kids made on me. That's what's worth it. I remember we had a meeting a few months ago. Rick Achenbach asked me the question, like, what's your favorite part of doing this job? Like, what, like, when you, now that you've been doing this for a while, what's your favorite part? And I said, that's easy. So when we go to summer camp and I see all my kids worship God in the front row, that's my favorite part. Because I know that spot. I know how I feel, and to know that I helped someone else get to that point, that's, but it took me to go deep. It took me to do something that I was afraid to do, a voice that I heard that said, no, that's not for me. That's not like I'm being dramatic. That's, I'm making this up in my head. I denied that voice. So with all of this being said is, if you have a voice inside of your head that you are hearing and you're like, that's not for me. I shouldn't stop doing this. I shouldn't be a part of this. Kids church is great, but I don't think I'm great with kids. Or youth group sounds like a lot of fun, but I just can't make the time. Or you want to be, God has you being called to being a greeter, whatever it is. Whatever that small voice, whatever that next step is, it could be something at home, it could be something with your wife, it could be something with your husband, it could be something that God is just putting inside your head and you're just like, I don't know if that's God. I don't know if that's what he really wants me to do. And you're like half in and half out. The only way you're going to know is when you take that step to do it. And let's say you do it and you find out it wasn't God. Okay, well, perfect. Then you know now. And then you know, okay, what's the next thing that he wants me to do? Because the biggest part about this is that he has such a bigger picture for us. And maybe that failure was something to set you up for the next step. Some of the things that he wants us to do is to fail. Because we need to realize it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do. It's not about the talent that I have. It is about what God can do through me. And so sometimes he's going to ask you to do something and you're going to fail epically. And that's exactly where he wants you to be. He wants you to be on your knees praising him, saying, God, I can't do anything without you. Because I don't know where I would be at if I didn't take that leap of faith. I live out my passion now every single day with these kids because I was obedient to what God said. So I'm just going to invite you right now, if you feel like you've been going through the motions, you feel like you know what to say, you have the church words, and you've had a good relationship for God with a while, but you just want to go deeper. If you just want to see what that next step is for you, you want to see what God has for you in this next season of life, I encourage you to come up and find me, find Pastor, find Rick, and talk to us. Help us, let us help you, let us pray with you. Or maybe you just feel like you just need to rededicate yourself or dedicate yourself for the very first time to God. Say, I don't know what this is. I don't know what God's asking me to do, but I just really want to revive my relationship with God. Because you're right, I have been going to church for a while. You're right, I have been helping a lot of people. I have been very active. But when it comes to my own relationship with God, I just haven't really gone that deep. Because let's be honest, we've all been there. We all have dry seasons in our life. Whatever that, wherever you are at, I just encourage you as we leave here today, if you want to find Pastor, Pastor Cynthia, Pastor Rick, or me, I can say Pastor me now because I have a license. I just really encourage you guys to just find someone to talk to and just have that time and have that moment to pray. Because when I was 8 years old and I heard that voice, it was very easy for me to just disqualify it. But then when I was going to accept it, it was very scary. And I wasn't sure what that next step was going to be. But when I did it, there was no looking back. It was just keep going forward. And I think that's what God wants for you. I know that's what God wants for you today. So I'm going to go ahead and pray us out. And if you like to talk to someone, I just encourage you to find one of us. Dear God, just thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you for what you're doing in everyone here. God, I just pray for your blessing just for all of us during this time, that your presence will just be shown in and through us in our lives. The voice that we hear inside of us, God, I just pray that we acknowledge it and that we wrestle with it. God, is it really you? And that we just remain faithful in that. We align it with your word, God. We align it with what you have already said. And we are going to be obedient to the calling that you have put for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Easter.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.